Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Well, thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and I'm joined by Kathy Valenti with the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action.
Welcome, hello,
Kathy. Yeah.
Thank you, Monty.
Early voting getting underway, and Cook County voters will be deciding on an important ballot issue, whether the state should legalize the use of recreational marijuana. Kathy, explain the importance of the outcome of this vote.
Well, the reason they're doing it in Cook County is because Cook County obviously is the largest county in Illinois, but it also is home to 40% of the population. So the proponents of recreational marijuana want to see it pass in Cook County, and they're pretty certain it will. And it will embolden them to then go forward with the legislation that's already pending. We also know that there's most likely going to be the same question on a statewide referendum on the ballot for the November election. So that's what we're looking at. They are moving ahead.
What's the reasoning for moving ahead at this point in time?
Well, the state is bankrupt. The state needs a new revenue source. They've taxed us to the point where they can't tax too many more things, and they see this as a new revenue source. But we look at Colorado. They have brought in less than 1% of their annual budget as a result of taxing marijuana. It's very little, 0.8%.
Well, our guest on this edition of Illinois Family Spotlight is James Krueger. He is the chief of police in Oak Brook. And Chief Krueger is the president of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, an organization that is opposed to the legalization of recreational marijuana. Chief, a couple reasons why you think this is a bad idea.
First, thanks for having me here today. I appreciate it and have the opportunity to be here today to speak for our membership. The Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police are very concerned about this legislation. We feel that it will have a detriment to public safety and traffic safety and really affect Illinois in some unforeseen ways. We can certainly look towards the experiences in Colorado and Washington State and what our law enforcement peers are telling us on what has occurred out there in the last few years, which causes a grave concern for the safety of the people of Illinois.
Chief, from your law enforcement perspective, why do you think this will create a hardship for police officers?
Well, I think it's going to be very difficult for us to be able to determine the origin of where a certain cannabis comes from and whether it's legal or illegal purposes or origins. There still isn't adequate science out there to show just what impairment levels are within a human being and basically for us to have the mechanism to be able to test for it as well. You know, there are some tests out there that will show presence of cannabis in someone's system, but as far as trying to get a numerical number or trying to prove impairment at a certain level is going to be significantly more difficult than, say, what it is now for alcohol.
Well, do police have any systems in place to deter driving under the influence of marijuana? And we'll get into this, but this new era marijuana is really high-potency stuff.
Well, all that we've really had at our disposal at this point has been if a person has been suspected to be driving under the influence and it's determined through either a breathalyzer or a PBT out on the street that it's not alcohol, so there must be some other type of substance, whether it's cannabis or some other type of illicit drug, is the only real method we had to test for it was to take the person into custody and then transport them to a hospital to get them in front of a phlebotomist in order to take blood and urine that then would get sent into the lab for an analysis. So it's a significantly time-consuming method to do that. And in most cases, and anecdotally, what we've heard from from police chiefs in Colorado is that there was no real good data for it in the past because because of that being such a time-consuming effort on the part of a police officer or a department that may have limited personnel in the middle of the night, is that if there was any alcohol present, they would go with that because they had the breathalyzer in the station. They could prove impairment. They could prove the presence of alcohol. And even though they may suspect that there is cannabis or something else, they wouldn't then take the extra step of sending somebody to the hospital to get that blood draw because they had enough evidentiary purposes in order to charge the person with DUI with the alcohol alone. So it makes it fairly cumbersome for us to try to quantify it. And then the other problem is that even with our talks with AAA, is that there is a lot of discussion throughout the country on just what that level of presence of THC in a person's system is necessary for somebody to be under the influence or impaired.
What do you think it is?
Right now, the state had passed a law a couple years ago that we had grave concerns with that set the 5 nanogram limit, which is one of the highest in the United States, as far as that being the per se limit, just like, say, the 0.08 for alcohol is now in Illinois and in most states. And what they've shown is that 0.5, beside it being one of the highest in the country, is that maybe 0.3, maybe 0.2 is more accurate. And in our mind, of course, and what we have been working with up until this point is that zero was the optimum number.
Zero, the optimum number. You mentioned that this is going to be cumbersome, and this is going to add some cost to police departments' budgets, right?
Sure. What they're telling us is that we could be a couple few years from an actual instrument, just like a breathalyzer and a lockup, but that instrument may be $20,000 to $50,000, too. You know, that's per police department in order to have that instrument, and we still may be a couple years away. So that's going to be one issue. There's still going to be a time issue. And then the other concern we have is that, you know, is that per se level going to be any type of, provide us with any type of accuracy towards impairment or what the driving behavior really is? So when you factor those issues in, you also factor in the concerns with, you know, we besides just the regular motorist in an automobile, is we have trucks, we have buses, you know, we have a lot of different conveyances, and there are DOT regulations on the federal level that they have zero tolerance for any type of substance in someone's system. And what is that going to mean to the accident rate and eventually the fatality rate in Illinois? We've seen that it's gone up in Colorado, and for that matter, we've had some concerns over about the last year or two that actually fatal accidents now are on their way up in Illinois over the last couple of years.
Why is that?
Well, we think there's a few concerns. One is that we think that there is some prevalence of this. There's certainly some apathy when it comes to cannabis now even. I know in speaking to our officers, even in my community where they've made arrests, is that there are people in possession of cannabis now, even though it's illegal, that possess it very nonchalantly. We've also seen where they've had it with Colorado tax stamps in their possession, so we know it's coming out of Colorado, too.
Being exported?
Correct. Okay. So that's a grave concern. And there's been quite a difference in, we believe, in the level of enforcement right now that's going on throughout the state, whether or not that comes back to some of the societal issues that have been going on within the last few years or you know, what some of the productivity levels may be in some of our communities.
Well, let's say lawmakers go ahead and legalize marijuana. Will Illinois roads be less safe?
That's our stance, that they'll be less safe. And in any short-term gains in that the state may see financially is that if that's the decision that's made to go down that road, then they really need to come to us and give us the means and the money in order to be able to work with that.
You mentioned this testing device that maybe a couple years down the road, if they're just bent on legalizing marijuana, should they hold off until that technology is available?
Well, I think not only that, but then they have to also decide that they're going to have to support local law enforcement financially to be able to afford to be able to do that. If that's what the policymakers' decision, then they have to also be willing to pay for us to be able to work within those parameters.
Well, this is Illinois Family Spotlight, joined by Kathy Valenti with IFA and IFI, and Chief James Kruger. He is the head guy at the Oak Brook Police Department, and we'll take a time out to continue our conversation after this.
Hi, this is Pastor McCracken, pastor of the Church of Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Markham, Illinois. For the last 4 years, our church has been struggling to overcome the city's efforts to shut us down. In the midst of all of our legal issues, we felt overwhelmed and discouraged. All we wanted to do was worship the Lord and serve our community. We needed a law firm that not only had the knowledge of the law, but the same commitment of the kingdom of God. The Lord connected us with the law firm of Malcolm Baker. The attorneys at Malcolm Baker have not only provided us with exceptional legal representation and counsel, but have also provided us with the added gift of lawyers who pray with us and seek the guidance of the Lord at every step. After working with Malcolm Baker, we can't imagine working with anyone else.
Hi, this is Noel Stert, an attorney with Malcolm Baker. If your church or ministry has any legal needs, please call us 312-726-1243 or look us up online at malcolmbaker.com.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
Well, thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lurk, joined by Kathy Valenti of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. And our guest on this edition is James Krueger, the Chief of Police of Oak Brook, and he's also the President of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. The association has come down hard, really, against the legalization of marijuana in Illinois.
Well, I've been very proud of the stance that we've taken. This really started to really crystallize just as I took office last April. And I was very concerned about it and went to our board and then our membership and who concurred and agreed with me that that we needed to vehemently oppose this potential legislation. We've been kind of on the forefront of this for many years. We worked hard of trying to hold back medical marijuana too and felt that that was going to be a concern. And basically, it was going to be a stair step to get to here. And that was the eventual plan. And that's why we worked hard at it.
And lo and behold, that's what's happening.
Sure. And, you know, and it was unfortunate because when we were against it for public safety purposes and you know, the potential abuse of it, of course, the pro came out with, you know, people that were, you know, in desperate need of some medical attention and tried to make us out like we didn't have any concern for those folks,
and it was just folks. Yeah.
Very, very, very unfortunate, and it put us in an untenable position to where it finally became law. But we worked hard to try to place limitations on it as much as possible so that there was some kind of control.
Do you think a lot of folks who are on medical marijuana are really abusing the system?
You know, I think we're more concerned with not those folks necessarily, you know, that actually have a medical card and have a concern, although the legislature has kind of opened that up to be almost anything at this point, which has been a concern, and we figured that was going to happen down the road. But the fact that the cannabis is present and available, you know, who else can get to it? You know, are kids getting to it now? And also, are there different means in order to obtain the marijuana? You know, we've seen through our research and certainly in what's going on in Colorado that there still is a gray market and that there still are, the cartels are still working at it because there's still an interest to buy the marijuana illicitly because it's still cheaper that way. You know, you're not paying the tax, you're not paying the overhead that a business would have to pay, so
that's
therefore
right.
They're still able to get it cheaper. So that doesn't go away. So the
will
argument,
be escalated if it gets legalized here in Illinois.
Certainly, because then how is there going to be any way for a police officer on the street to be able to determine whether or not that cannabis was purchased illicitly or legally if it's all of a sudden legal to possess recreationally. So it'll almost go with impunity on what the cartels could potentially do or within Illinois.
Within Illinois.
Right.
And we've heard about gun battles in Colorado with rival cartels and what have you. Could that come here?
Well, I think there's probably some, in some communities, there may be some of that going on now. I mean, I wouldn't want to overcharacterize that violence will escalate to a epidemic level, but certainly we've seen it. We've seen it with the heroin and the opioid crisis, and this is just an offshoot of that.
You mentioned something that kind of piqued my interest in regard to medical marijuana, that kids were actually getting a hold of this. So what's the likelihood if we have recreational marijuana that proponents say will be strictly regulated for folks 21 and older? What's the likelihood of a lot of this marijuana getting into the hands of kids?
Well, there's no question that, through the research on what's occurred in other states is that the usage will go up because now people that may have been less likely to attempt to try it because it is an illegal substance and that there would be repercussions for that is that now that they're more likely to try it, so therefore usage will go up, that it'll be in the home. It may be more visible in the home, so therefore kids will be able to get to it. That, along with the concern that we really have, especially with younger children, is the edible variety and where some of those, the THC substances is in, not just the issue of smoking.
And Kathy, these edible varieties, they look like candy.
They do. It appears like they're marketing them for kids. There's gummy bears and lollipops and cookies and brownies. And you might have a candy bar that has 200 grams or 200 milligrams, I should say, of THC in it. And the recommended dose is 10 milligrams. So who's going to eat a little tiny bite of that candy bar? And if the parents have this in their pantry, what kid isn't going to grab a candy bar or a bag of gummy bears and start eating them? So
I've seen some pictures, and you just cannot differentiate between the pot-infused candy and just the regular stuff. They're marketing to kids.
Mm-hmm. We really can look at Colorado. And in Colorado, even though their law says 21 and older for recreational purposes, it is the number one problem in schools now in Colorado. 62% of the expulsions and suspensions are marijuana related. And the kids are saying that they're either getting it from their parents or from the black market. They're buying it illegally or they're getting it from their parents.
Chief, do you know what's more dangerous on the roads? People who have smoked this new high potency marijuana or they've used one of the edibles?
I think, as Kathy mentioned, I think it's a dosage issue, and I think the they're just not aware of the dosage that they're getting because I think it sneaks up on you. And, once they've, ate an entire cookie or ate an entire gummy bear or something, they really won't know until it's too late. But as you mentioned, the fact that the potency is 30 times what it was 25, 30 years ago, I think is unknown, too. It just seems to me that, and I think it feeds back into the whole issue with these referenda that are coming about, is that it seems like some legislators are using the apathy that is going on in the community in order to try to get some, if they can get that approval, then they can get some cover that the community is okay with this when
yes.
The community really doesn't know all the facts. And that seems to be what they're banking on, and it's very unfortunate.
Well, Kathy, you've been out in the community speaking to different groups about this. What kind of feedback are you getting?
Well, once they're presented the truth, once we give them good, hard, factual information, they're shocked, for one thing, and they're completely opposed to legalization. This has been my experience. But you know what? I want to go back just real quick to the edibles, and 40% of the market in Colorado is edibles. Well, when you smoke a joint, you get a pretty quick high. You'll get almost an immediate high. But an edible is different. It has to go through your digestive system, and it takes a while. It may take 15, 20, 30 minutes for you to feel that same effect. Well, you have kids who want that high. They're not feeling that high, so they're going to take a little bit more. They're going to eat a little bit more. It The hospitalization issues have been escalated in Colorado. Poison control center calls have gone through the roof in Colorado. So I see this as being a Pandora's box. They're opening a can of worms that they should not be opening.
Chief, you are the head law enforcement officer in Oak Brook, upscale community. Surely legal marijuana will not be a big problem in your community.
As I often say, there's no moat around the community, and we have a significant amount of traffic that comes in. We actually, our daytime population is between 80 and 100,000. So the fact that the motoring public would be subjected to this, not just our residential population, but also the fact that we have multiple hotels, this is going to be a concern in every community in Illinois.
Well, where do you think the biggest problem will be? Some are suggesting it'll be in the inner city. You know, where do you think it will
be? Well, I think there's two things we can look at that really feed into that. One is that as we look at the experience again in Colorado, is that the placement of the retail establishments now are in communities that are in crime areas and not in some of the more higher cost suburban areas in Colorado. We can really equate that to what's going on in Illinois, even with the medical marijuana sites, in that many communities zone them out through their zoning laws, so that way that you wouldn't have a dispensary in your community. So that will leave it to communities that may be those same ones that are of concern for the people that live there and that may have a detrimental effect.
So these retail shops won't be popping up along Michigan Avenue? Probably not, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. There's a perception that our jails are just full of people who are arrested for smoking a couple joints. But the facts tell a different story,
yeah.
Right?
I don't, and I've been doing this over 35 years, and I don't know that anybody's ever ended up in prison or stayed longer than an overnight stay or a couple days in a county jail for cannabis. And at that point, it had to be a significant amount. But otherwise, for over the last decade, even before the decriminalization law came into effect about a year and a half ago, is most communities were issuing ordinance violation citations for that as it is for the very small amounts. Or even at the point where they would have had the amount that was a Class A misdemeanor, the prisons don't have misdemeanors locked up anymore. It's been a long, long time for anything, even a retail theft. And for that matter, in most cases, it's a year supervision and maybe a $200 to $500 fine has been it. So other than the people with significant amounts, and I'm talking about like a trunk full or somebody that has been charged with distribution, those are the folks that you would see locked up in prison potentially.
The proponents will say this effort to make marijuana available on a recreational basis legally will free up police from having to do a lot of pot paperwork and what have you and make your lives better. What do you say to that?
Well, I think it'll be the law of unintended consequences, because if we're not doing that, it's going to be the effects of what that's going to cause us, whether it's going to be more traffic crashes or more fatalities or retail thefts in order to gain money to buy the cannabis. I mean, or potentially burglaries or car burglaries, especially if those items are left in vehicles, you can bet that they're going to break into them.
Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle is supporting legalization, contending that it will help alleviate what she maintains are racial disparities in the criminal justice system, with drug laws that give young people, minorities primarily, records, and it makes it hard for them to get a job.
Well, we're very disappointed in what we've been hearing with that in that regard. That's come out too in some of the gubernatorial race and with some of the candidates also talking about that for some of their reasoning for legalization. And our association has been, completely disagrees with that premise, and that the enforcement of the laws today as they stand on the books have had no bearing when it comes to race.
No bearing when it comes to race. So if they legalize marijuana, and you kind of alluded to this, it would seem as though crime would actually go up because people get addicted, and how are they going to pay for it, right?
That's our
contention.
And
you're actually going to be sending more people to jail.
That certainly is the potential is there. And again, from some of the statistics we've seen in other states, that They may reduce in one way, but they're going to expand in another.
Well, Chief, if you're a parent, what should you be telling your kids about marijuana?
Well, I think parents are going to have to be very vigilant, and even more so. You know, certainly parents over the years have been concerned with underage drinking as their children hit high school. But I think this is going to be a bigger concern for parents as far as whether or not they have to be careful with their younger children even getting a hold of this substance and realizing that it is significantly toxic. I mean, the statistics we've seen is that there is a potential for a loss of up to 8 IQ points if a younger child gets a hold of the substance. There's been too much of a misinformation campaign about trying to equate this with alcohol or prohibition in general, and that's what we've heard out of some legislators, and it's just not the case. There's only one reason to ingest cannabis, which is much different than alcohol.
And Kathy, when parents are talking to their kids about this effort to legalize marijuana, they should remember this is not the marijuana that they grew up with.
Well, back in the 60s and 70s, it was 2 to 3% THC. The levels were about 2 to 3%. And now they can be anywhere from 20 to 90%, most of those being edibles. But it's definitely more potent. There's more THC than it was 30, 40 years ago.
And it's more addictive, too.
Yes.
Well, we have a webinar featuring Chief Kruger and a couple other experts that is available to you on Facebook. Kathy, can people connect with that?
They can just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Illinois Family Institute. It'll be posted on our YouTube page. We want the information to get out there to the parents about how harmful this is going to be if we legalize marijuana for recreational purposes. And we want the parents, as voters, to contact their lawmakers, their state rep and state senator, and tell them, urge them to vote against recreational marijuana.
Chief, is that a message that you want to get out there to lawmakers too?
Yes, that we're, again, deeply concerned with the public safety and especially the traffic safety in our state, and we would really want them to really think about that and understand that any short-term financial gain is going to be erased by what we see as the concerns going downstream with what the cost to society will be.
I want to backtrack just a little here. Chief, the federal government is cracking down on marijuana and states that do that. And here, Illinois is talking about legalization. So if you're a police officer, what do you do?
That's been our biggest concern, too, that the fact that it is still a scheduled narcotic, it's against federal law. Certainly, it's for those of us in certain professions, it would still be against the law because, or any place that has a drug-free workplace or has any type of federal grant work, it would still be against federal law. So we're glad to see that the Attorney General now has finally told the U.S. attorneys throughout the country that to enforce the law as they see fit, and we believe that there should be consistency throughout the country.
Chief, if folks would like to maybe get in contact with you about what should I tell my kids, or maybe you want to speak out on this, what should they do?
Well, if they would like to contact our association, our website is www.ilchiefs.org, and there's a contact form, and we'll be sure to get back to them.
Chief James Kruger, thank you so much. Chief James Kruger, the Chief of Police in Oak Brook and the President of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, an organization that is opposed to the legalization of recreational marijuana. Thank you so much. God bless you. Kathy, all the best to you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.